So I wonder, what is the most exciting invitation you have ever received? The most wonderful offer? The most enticing opportunity? Perhaps it was a job offer? Maybe a first date? What about going on to an event or meeting a person or taking a holiday? I remember the excitement bubbling up inside me when the email arrived from someone I knew offering me tickets to Lourdes to watch a test match. And the sense of opportunity I felt when I got a telephone call in my early 20s asking if I'd like a singing opportunity touring America. Invitation. What was yours? Invitation is where the adventure starts. The invitation to Bilbo to leave the Shire. The invitation to go to Hogwarts. The invitation to start the new thing. Now, we're beginning today a series looking at the foundations of faith, grappling with those basics. And so we're also exploring and celebrating the baptism of Elias and Sandy today, as they step out on their adventure of faith. So it's entirely right and appropriate that we consider the invitation that is held out to each and every one of us today from Jesus in our reading. Come and see, he says. We're going to walk through that Bible passage that Mark just read to us. It's from John chapter 1. It's on page 1064 on your pews. In your pew Bibles, or you can get it on your phone. John chapter 1, verse 39, page 1064. In our passage this morning, we're going to find an invitation offered out to four different disciples in unique ways. Maybe you might find yourself related to them as we consider invitation. The first off, there's Andrew. Take a look in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Andrew is one of the two we meet back in verse 35. The next day, John was there with two of his disciples, one of them Andrew. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they follow Jesus. One of those two was Andrew. Now, to get to grips with this passage, we need to know a little bit about John the Baptist. Maybe you've heard about him, maybe you haven't. He was a prophetic voice, a visionary. He was a political thorn in the side of the powers that be. He was a magnet for the spiritually curious, and he had devoted followers. Not quite Taylor Swift, she's too mainstream. Maybe more a Greta Thunberg, people who had opinions about crazy John. But Andrew had been intrigued and captivated by John. He'd heard John speak about Jesus before in verse 29 as the chosen one, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So when John points him out again, there he is, he's the one, this is what it's all about. When the one you're influenced by says, "Look over there," offers the invitation, Andrew takes his first step. I don't know, maybe like Andrew, you've got a role model, someone you look up to, a voice you admire. You know the one, you listen to their podcasts, you read their posts, maybe you've got their book. You imagine them maybe saying, "Check this out." That's Andrew's invitation. And Andrew then, he goes to find his brother Simon, our second character. He's bubbling over with enthusiasm. "We found the Messiah," he says in verse 41. And Andrew brings his brother Simon to Jesus. Now, I've not got a brother or a sister, but I've seen my siblings and my children's and their reactions to one another. I don't know, if your brother was enthusiastic about something, would you follow along or would you just give him an eye roll? Here he goes again. Religious Andrew. But whether you love them or loathe them, whether you see them often or only at Christmas, if that, what family says does matter. You can tell there's influence here, Andrew, to Simon. I've known the influence of family members, of uncles and of grandparents, even of my kids too. Sometimes, let's be honest, it's negative. But when they're excited about something, when they're bubbling over, when they've got good news to share, you want to know more. So Simon takes his first steps. That's his invitation. We've had Andrew, we've had Simon. Next, Philip in verse 43. He's slightly different. Some people think he might have been one of the two followers of John the Baptist, but we don't know that for sure. What we do know in verse 43 is this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." It's a very significant twist on what's gone before. You see, Andrew followed after Jesus. Andrew had been pointed towards Jesus and he makes his own way. This is the traditional way in the first century you found a rabbi, a teacher. You followed them on Twitter, on X, on Insta. You checked them out. In fact, in those days, you followed, you listened, you learned, but then the rabbi would decide if you made the grade. And he would say to you, "Follow me." After he's watched, after he's discerned, the rabbi would decide if you had what it took, or if you got kicked to the curb, if you passed the grade or got the chop. But here we find Jesus doing something unlike the rabbis of his day. Philip, in verse 43, Jesus goes to find him. Jesus goes to find him and says, "Follow me." Jesus is saying to Philip, "You've already passed. You're already in. I have sought you out. Come to find you. Let's go." That's Philip's invitation. A direct call from the one who has sought him. You know, there's this paradox often in faith. If you've been following Jesus for a while, you might recognize this. Oftentimes, it can feel like you're the one doing the following. That you've got to make the choice for Jesus each day. How am I going to act in this kind of situation? What will I say? What will I do? Does it bring him glory? Can I be bothered? Or should I just take the easy route out? Sometimes it does feel, and it is in a way, our choice. But at the same time, even in the same situations, you can come to realize that he was already there, in it, ahead of you. That he's actually come to find you. He's the seeker, not you. You just need to be found. It might be that you've experienced that realization again today. He's been on your case. He's been nudging you. We've sung that song that's reminded you of, you've met that person that said this. He's come to find you, Phillips. As he found me, he's longing to find you. That's Philip's invitation. And lastly, Nathanael. As Andrew found Simon, so Philip goes and finds Nathanael. But Nathanael is different. Nathanael's the skeptic. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" he says in verse 46. "Nah, Philip, you've got this wrong." Maybe it's an academic skepticism. Maybe you have that. He knows there aren't any prophecies about the Messiah coming from Nazareth. If Philip had said he comes from Bethlehem, that might have been different. Maybe you've got questions that are stopping you start this adventure rather than taking your adventures with questions with you on the adventure. Maybe it's an academic skepticism, or maybe it's a skepticism born of, well, comfortable apathy, you know. when you haven't got the energy or the inclination to take a new path. Maybe he's been beaten down, Nathaniel, by work or the kids or whatever. He needs a way out of this moment. He needs to sedate Philip's enthusiasm, to douse the flame. Can you relate to that? But Philip is not to be deterred. Verse 46, "Come and see," says Philip. And the rest is history. Come and see, that's Nathaniel's invitation, that's ours too. Nathaniel the skeptic, Philip the found one, Simon the eye-rolling brother, Andrew the influenced. To them we could add Mary the lost one, Matthew the rich outcast, Simon the terrorist or freedom fighter, Judas the dependable money man, James and John the impatient, and many more all received their invitations in this story, as do you and as do I. Come and see. And what's this an invitation to? Look at verse 38. As Andrew follows Jesus, Jesus turns and looks at him and says, "What do you want?" What a great question. Milk? No? Food? What do you want? Jesus, in fact, asked that question several times in the gospel. He asked it to a blind man who says, "Lord, I want to see." He asked it to a mother who says, "Lord, I want honor for my children." He says it to Andrew and he says it to us. What do you want? There's another invitation to ask or to pray today, to articulate deep down. Andrew responds saying, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Subtly, Andrew says, "Can we hang out with you a bit more? Jesus, can I just find out a little bit more? If you might just be for real." All these promises that we've heard about in this baptism service for today. Sins forgiven, death defeated, journeying with you through the mess of this world. Is it for real? To Andrew, Jesus' reply comes, "Come and you will see." For Simon too, there's a response when he turns up. Jesus looks at Simon and sees a different future of a life beyond the ordinary. Look at verse 42. Jesus looked at him, always looking, and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. Jesus says, "I see you, and I'm going to give you a different name. A name of hope, a name of promise." Peter, Petras, literally means rocky. The invitation for a new start. Maybe that's what you're here with today too. Life has hit the rocks, or just you're stuck in a rut. There's an invitation here for you today. A hint of something new just around the corner. We're going to leave the rest of Philip and Nathaniel's story for another day. Just to say, Jesus does surprise the skeptic. But you know, we receive invitations all the time. Maybe not invitations to parties, like if you're 3 or 4 every weekend. Or invitations to weddings when you're in your 20s or 30s. Or invitations to baptism services. But we receive invitations all the time to distraction on social media. To the new box set. We receive invitations to division or despair when we read the news. We receive invitations to pay attention to the phone or to the person who just shouts the loudest. Don't worry. Today, I want to humbly ask you to hear God's invitation to you again, each of you individually. The adventure, it starts with the invitation. It's his to make, and it continues this adventure with our response. But like Andrew, who had his mate, and Simon, who had Andrew, and Nathaniel, who had Philip, it's true that this is a hard journey to make alone, So I've got three invitations from me for you today. They're going to come up on the screen now. In a moment, when I'm finished, we're going to watch a video, an introductory video of an amazing short course called 321. You can find it at 321course.com. It's free. It's 8 episodes, none of them more than 20 minutes, inviting you to experience and begin life with Jesus. First possible invitation. Second possible invitation, if you're free at 9:30 on Tuesday and want to explore this some more, I'm going to be in Costa. I will buy you a coffee and a cake. I know. We're raising the bar here. But I know some of you, you know what, will be at work on Tuesday or looking after kids or doing something significant. Well, if you're free Thursday night, I'll buy you a curry. If you want to explore and take up this invitation, my number's there. This screen's going to come up again several times. Take a picture, note the number down, or just tap me on the shoulder afterwards. This is a journey we're invited to take. We're invited not to make alone, but just to come and explore. These invitations, there's no obligation. It can be a one-off, just a moment. Nobody's going to be putting you on any mailing list you don't want to be on. No pressure, no promises. Just come and see. Now, it might be you're sitting here today and you've been a follower of Jesus for a while. I wonder, what invitations can you offer? What invitations can you offer? How could you say, come and see to the people you meet? For the foundations of faith begin with an invitation. What will you do with yours? Let's watch this intro to 321.
Perspective is everything. So how do you see life? We want to give you a chance to slow down, get your bearings, and look again. Welcome to 321. This is Life According to Jesus.
Take all the time you need.
Three, 321course.com. Coffee, curry. What's your response? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that like Andrew and Simon and Philip and Nathaniel, you ask us to follow you. You offer an invitation. And Lord, we want to respond. To offer ourselves back to you. To maybe tentatively take our next step on this journey. So Lord, would your Spirit meet us and guide us? Would you remind us that you are close to each one today? And as we sing this next song, would your Spirit of peace fill this place? Amen. Our next song is